Yo. Yo, what up, bro? Y'all stand for OT? Yeah. Nah, get that bread, bro. Y'all gotta stay for OT.
Listen up, workers. Overtime is mandatory this weekend. No excuses.
What's happening? What's happening? Here. Yo. Welcome to Mandatory Overtime. I'm your main man, DJ High Star. How y'all doing out there? What's up? What's up? What's up? Here for another episode, episode two, man. Glad to be here. Grateful to be here. Definitely. Here at Mandatory Overtime, the aim is to recalibrate the what we define manhood as in today's society. Through that, we're going to have some fun, of course, but we're going to keep it honest, keep it real, be accountable, hold ourselves accountable. Just be better each day. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just really a social experiment in consistency. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here listening to me. And for that, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all. Also, don't confuse this with the manosphere. All right? It's just a place where the man is fair. So pull up a chair, like, subscribe, and share. And make some noise because the man is here. None time out. They say I got a Russian sound engineer and a Czech one too. A Czech one too. What's happening, everybody? How y'all doing? How's everybody doing live from Charlotte, America? What's going on? Getting into episode two of Mandatory Overtime. Listen, I wanted to do some housekeeping from last week. Last week was that pilot episode. If you will, if you're listening to this week, it's going to be about a week separated from the current events and stuff going on. However, today we got a special episode where we're going to go ahead and speak about protecting black women as men a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Shout out to the ancestors. Rest in peace, Angie Stone. But if you really break down some of the stuff what Angie Stone is saying in that, she was snapping now. She was snapping. Shouting out the brothers in jail. She said, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it. Okay. So shout out on shout out to championing intellectualism at all times. Y'all already know what time it is with that. But I wanted to start off this week with a little bit of housekeeping from last week. So last week when we were going over some high star bars, and it's funny, we'll be going over a couple of high star bars here in a second from the same battle. But when we were going over the high star bars, that cassette line, what Mook said, it really had me kind of riled up. I was speaking too fast in the moment. So let's replay that line real quick.
Let me take a sec so I could set the table. I'm the A, you the B side. Let's just put that on the record player. Mm-hmm. You've been losing. Mm-hmm.
All right. So he said, let me just take a sec so I could set the table. And anyways, the use of the words and stuff like that, and the, you know, sonically, that shit was fire. So it's still high star bars. I said last week, I was like, cassette. I was just too wrapped up and stuff in the breakdown, to be honest with y'all. But nevertheless, shout out to Mook, that battle, and shout out to Hitman too. Let me see here. Shout out to Mook and Hitman.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
I was doing
nigga.
This getting money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
Wabble-dee-dabble-dee.
So, shout out to and brother some brotherly love to Mook and to Hitman Holla. They battle has reached 1 million views. I know it surpassed 1 million so far. So, they, you know, it's not just us talking about it, in other words. But speaking of, the other housekeeping stuff, because I was listening back last week, of course, heard a lot of ums. I'm just continue to try to work on that actively. The pause usage really immediately after last week when I told y'all we wasn't going to be doing the pause thing. I said pause haphazardly. I don't know if y'all caught it or not, but I will be aware of that. So just letting y'all know, you know. So let's go over, go through some more high star bars this week before we get into the show. This was actually immediately following that line. That's what made Mook's first round so strong. He didn't take no bars off. So this line is immediately following that that line that Mook said as far as with the record player. Let's see here. First, we're gonna play that one again.
Let me take a sec so I can set the table. I'm the A, you the B side. Let's just put that on the record player. You've been losing.
Calm. Very calm. All right, so right after that, he goes into this scheme. I'm gonna let the bars play and then we're gonna kind of go through it real quick.
You've been losing a lot lately. Three L's in a row. I hope maybe you learn a lesson later. You want to know how I got to the top? Be in the elevator. Wait, you the nigga who Jews got swept?
Very simple, yet still, come on, man. You got to be a writer, a spitter. You got to be in this thing of ours to know. You know what I mean? I was layered right there. So you play that again real quick. You've been losing a lot lately. That's what you started it off with. You've been losing a lot lately.
Hold on. You've been losing a lot lately. Three L's in a row. I hope maybe you learn a lesson later. You want to know how I got to the top? Be in the elevator.
Okay, so
you the nigga
he
who
said,
Jews got swept.
All right, so he said, you've been losing a lot lately. Three L's in a row. Maybe you'll learn the lesson later. You want to know how I got to the top? I took the L, Evader. It's calm. It's very calm. I don't know how you even, like, when some top tier battle rappers or spitters in general come up with certain things, I don't even know, like, how did you even think about that? You know, some stuff is just God level. Like, yeah, God had to put that in your mind because... That's wild. The elevator, that's just hard, bro. That's hard. But shout out to them once again and everybody that's, you know, doing their battle rap thing and not suing. But yeah, I had to do it. Just take a little shot. So I got a little evergreen topic here listed in my notes before we get started. And it's completely random. So y'all forgive me. But remember, this will give me a chance to remind y'all that we do have the email address wide open, mandatoryot704@gmail.com, mandatoryot704@gmail.com, and, you know, write us an email and stay tapped in. Y'all already know. So let's see here. What I have written down is car flags. Do you trust them? Now, don't kill me yet. Just give me a shot. Give me a chance. I'm just saying, there came a point around 2014 to 2015 where seeing flags, especially on cars, give me kind of some like little anxiety and stuff. Because the American flag, if we keeping it funky, it seems to be synonymous with what the Confederate flag was synonymous with in the early 2000s or the mid to late 90s. And it's just the observation that I made. So I'd be, you know, regardless if it's an American flag or not, or if you got a bunch of American flag bumper stickers on your car, I get some anxiety. Gotta be real, y'all. I gotta be real. I can't sugarcoat it just because the stuff that's been going on. Again, I didn't really mention it in last week's episode. It had been through the news and stuff, but podcaster, right wing podcaster, I'm just not trying to say his name, but he was deleted. And You know, your grandmother says if you don't have nothing nice to say about anyone. So that's why I kept my mouth shut last week. But again, with all of that stuff being stirred up and this energy being stirred up, it just had me thinking, like, when I see these car flags and stuff, America or America. Now, also on the flip side, just we talking strictly aerodynamics and aesthetically. You see a lot of HBCU ones, right? A lot of HBCU flags around and everything like that, or just college flags. And I don't trust those either, right? I don't want them flying off, hitting my windshield and causing some kind of Allstate commercial or whatnot. So I don't trust car flags, y'all. That's just my little gripe for the week, if you will. But let's go ahead and move forward with everything. I don't know no real nice segue or clean segue to get into as far as to get up out of that. But yeah, I can't rock with the car flags. So the car flags. All right. Let's see here. All right. So again, this week we're going to be talking about protecting black women. Attending in manhood, I think that's just, that goes understood and doesn't have to be explained. It's something that's implied, is us protecting women, right? And protecting our mothers, our daughters, our sisters, wives, and girlfriends, making sure that we protect women at all costs. So this episode, we're going to, you know, talk about a couple of things with that. Now, the first thing that I think about whenever I think about protecting black women, especially out in public, is whenever we see conflict. If a black woman is having a conflict, look like a domestic dispute, right, out in public, though, with their person, right, whether it's a woman or a man, and they getting abused or what in public, what do y'all do? Because I'm just curious to know what y'all do. You know, prayerfully, I can't say that I take action all the time, to be honest. I don't really interject myself into a lot of affairs out there in the public. It's just because of the society that we're in right now, unfortunately. You don't want to be somebody's headline for being a hero. I mean, again, I don't. And, you know, that's just the honest truth with that. I love to hear from y'all and hear what y'all feel on that vibe of it. Now, don't get me wrong, I lay down my life for my mother, for my sisters, you know what I mean, for my lady. Like, we got certain things that we would sacrifice for certain people, but in the grand scheme of all of that stuff, it's kind of strange. I don't like being in other people's affairs whenever it comes to women. But also, I don't like seeing women taken advantage of or being harmed and stuff like that by the hands of a man or another woman. So I don't know. I was just opening up the dialogue. I wanted to open up the discourse with that. There's a lot of stuff that was going on in social media that had me thinking about this topic and where we were going to go with it and stuff. I was kind of freestyling. So yesterday I wake up in social media and there's three things in my black algorithm that was just blaring, in other words. So one was the Dame Dash interview, all right, on the Breakfast Club. He went on the Breakfast Club. Two was Adrian Broner was kicked off of Cam and Mace's show. It is what it is. We'll talk about that in a second. And three, Amanda Seales, she did an interview with Deontay Kyle on Grits and Eggs. So out of all three of those, especially with what's recently been happening with Dame and stuff like that, out of all three of those, I said, you know what, for my peace of mind, the best one out of these three is probably going to be my Grits and Eggs vibes. I've been waiting on this interview for a minute anyways. And one thing about Deontay, he always says he doesn't do virtual interviews. And the reasons that he gives for not doing virtual interviews all were showing up in this interview, y'all. Like, he doesn't like the delay. You know, you end up talking over each other, you have connection issues, feedback issues. Now those, you know, those were showing up and stuff in the interview, but all the while, a beautiful interview. I stayed through the whole interview and listened through the whole thing because it was just two great minds kind of going at it and talking. you know, talking that talk. So, self-admitted radicalist and all of that.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
All we doing
nigga.
Is getting money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
Wabble-dee-dabble-dee.
Wabble-dee-dabble-dee. So, again, I'm going to definitely show love to Deontay and Grits and Eggs for having Amanda on and persevering through the virtual interview. But nevertheless, Amanda's been on I ain't gonna say no media run. She has her own podcast, Small Doses, but also she made an appearance on Jubilee, which is a viral internet show or, you know, YouTube show where they'll sit down one person and it'll be a room full of people with opposing views, and they all kind of take turns to sit down and debate the person that's sitting there. So it was framed, this episode was framed as like 20 black conservatives versus one, you know, liberal. And Amanda denounces that liberal label. She's self-proclaimed radical again. But she sliced and diced them up. The reason I had Amanda Seals written down after I seen that Jubilee, I wrote down in my notes, Amanda Seals is a jewel or whatnot. The reason that I wrote that down, I think she's unapologetically her. Not even think. She is unapologetically her. It's evident. But Amanda Seals is interesting only because she has blemishes on her record, you know, and she still kind of pushes through, doesn't let those define her and stuff. Now, I'd be being naive if I didn't bring up the situation around the Me Too movement where she tried to blast Myron Roll, who was a safety at the time, or former safety of, I believe, the Tennessee Titans. But she tried to blast him and accuse him of some, you know, sexual harassment and stuff. And again, wording and language is important. So around that time of the Me Too movement and stuff, it's pretty damaging to his reputation and stuff. So, and it came out later that, again, that she was embellishing or lying, just all, you know, all out lying. So she has some stains on her jacket. However, to me, I don't want no perfect person, you know, that I could like bounce ideas off of or get inspiration from and stuff. I do need to see people who are, you know, flawed. I like to see, again, it shows me how accountable people are and things like that. But nevertheless, with Amanda Seals, I think the value that she brings, especially to our community versus anything else, that isolated incident with Myron Roll was harmful or potentially harmful. But outside of that, the value that she brings to the community versus, you know, maybe somebody not liking her or her not being likable because the way she talks or her energy is, you know, the value way far outweighs all of the other petty stuff that you have to deal with, you know, with having different personalities in the black community. Right. So I'll sacrifice that for the good that she brings, because everything that she does, again, is for what I see, however is delivered and however the presentation is, it's always for us to uplift ourselves and for black liberation, if you will, for lack of better terms. So, you know, again, shout out to Amanda. I think her and Deontay, they did a great job. She gave him some great advice toward the end, was really like throughout, of course, like reaffirming that brother and stuff like that. But also it just seemed like she wanted the best for him. So she was definitely giving him advice when it comes to the industry and just in life in general. So I definitely want to salute and show some love to both of them for the job that they did on that interview.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
All we doing
nigga.
Is getting money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
Wabble dee dabble.
Yeah. So moving forward, I don't know kind of where we'll go with this, but the first thing I want to say to my brothers out there is sexual discipline. Let's start with that. a thing, if it's a conversation about protecting women, you know, protecting all women, let's start with sexual discipline. From a young teen, if you will, when I was down in Charleston, shout out to the Chuck, my dad, he always kind of drilled him into my head like that we would not, that I essentially could not bring home no, I couldn't be no teen father. I didn't, that he didn't have it, and like to not even entertain that idea, right? So I always was mindful and careful or aware whenever it came to ladies in high school. And then in college, I kind of transferred over and stuff. And I have to say also that me having three sisters, that helped tremendously as far as with me not, I guess, my non-thirst towards women, if you will. However, I know it's not like that for all of our brothers. So I just implore, you know, for us to start practicing sexual discipline in certain areas and in regards to things so that the stuff that we can control on our end, we control, right? What I'm alluding to, though, like I said, we're going to get to the A-B stuff or whatnot. It was cringy. I seen a couple of highlights from it and stuff, and I didn't even want to clip or you know, rip any of those highlights and stuff because it's cringy. It was all cringy. But it was your typical dude that's inebriated. He appeared inebriated, and he's just, yo, you so beautiful, ma. You so beautiful, yo. Yo, you is so beautiful. Like, oh my gosh. This is after people is asking questions and stuff like that. At a point, perhaps in your teens and maybe in your early 20s, that's like acceptable, or it might be, I don't know, entertaining to some or flattering, I guess. But dog, some point we got to realize when we coming off as a creep. And that shit was creepy. You know, the yeah, that's creepy, though. So, AB, all right, let's go ahead and go into it, though. Cam and Mace's show, it is what it is. They have a moderator named Treasure Wilson. They call her Stat Baby. She was, you know, they were moderating the show and stuff. This was really post-fight. It seemed like it might have been filmed, I don't know, Sunday morning, perhaps, like late Sunday evening. So this is post-fight. But AB just, he was inebriated, and he was very aggressive whenever it came to complimenting Treasure. So everybody tried to quell the noise and chill him out or cool him out, but he continued and was persistent until Cam says, like, bro, her boyfriend is here. Like, just relax. Like, her boyfriend's over there. And AB, he didn't proceed to relax. Still was, you know, going at it and or whatnot, but so Cam had to eventually escort him off of the set after paying him for his time and stuff like that. So, first of all,
show love, nigga.
Let me go ahead and show love.
It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
I was doing this game, money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
Wabble dee dabble. Wabble dee dabble. So I'm gonna show some love to Cam for just doing what's right in that moment. Again, the Stat Baby is damn near a little sister to them. So I know if you saw her uncomfortable, you know, Cam gonna bust a move. And he kept it professional, definitely escorted him out and everything like that. Again, at the same time, AB, he's inebriated. He still don't realize what he's doing wrong and that he's wrong in the situation. He's trying to calm down, doesn't realize that he went too far. And that's our problem a lot of times. I don't want to put no blanket statement over us, y'all, because there's another thing that I've realized with listening to the show back last week. I'm trying to stay far away from the y'alls and the hour and the, you know, putting the big blanket y'all on anything. So nevertheless, though, with AB, I think a lot of our problem, just take some accountability with it as well, is that, you know, sometimes our partners, they think that they God's gift, or that that everybody wants them or something for whatever reason. And you know, that's not the case all the time. It's not the case. So in college, I kick it with partners who would bust a Yui in the middle of traffic. to get somebody number, right? Get a number though and be respectful. But whenever you hear like, damn girl, like, ooh, I would drink, like all of the aggressive flirting and the aggressive advancements at women, I always think to myself, what do you think that a woman should respond or should reply to that whenever you do that? Does that make sense what I'm saying, y'all? Like, in what world where, like, would she be like, dang, ain't nobody ever come at me like that before? Or, you know, and I'm really opening up the discourse because I'd like to know. Now, I know, you know, when it comes to the law of numbers, look, the more times you shoot, you know, the better chance that you have as far as making a bucket, right, or whatnot. So I understand that. But again, with putting out the energy of like, damn, girl, I drink your bath water or anything like that, it just comes off weird. And I think there's a shift that needs to happen again where we start. There's plenty of people that respect women out there, but we need to start calling out some of these gentlemen that don't have no respect for women. Let's call it what it is, right? It's Fresh and Fit podcast. So again, this is back to the Walmart wall. These dudes is past performance improvement plans. So if you see them, y'all need to holler at security and let one of us know so we can kick their ass and get them up out of here. But Fresh and Fit podcast, that's Myron Gaines and then some other fella that my partner think that I look like. But anyways, they down in Miami, they invite girls onto their podcast just so that they could talk down on them or tell them why they ain't nothing, or, you know, and it's very cringy, of course, makes for horrible TV. And then you've got academics, of course. I've never liked academics like that. Like, you know, I've fuck that nigga. But he always, his interactions with women is just, it's crazy. Again, I think you can identify whenever a man sees a woman as an object or less than an object, right? Like, you really don't like women. Like, my man, you don't like women or the energy. Like, you, because, anyways, so you got academics, but also a lot of these young streamers in these young streaming communities, they have some room for growth, opportunities for growth whenever it comes to their interactions with women and things like that. So you have, then you got people like DeShay Frost. So I want to play this clip that happened on with him on stream, he and Target. But I want to play this clip real quick for y'all.
She ain't even answering.
Who?
One at the right here.
For our number?
Nah. You said more than that. You look so good, I'll fuck you right now.
But that's sexual harassment. Bro, I'm saying, bro. Like, I'm saying.
Oh, wait.
Like, I'm saying, though, bro.
It's just a prank.
We just prank. Like,
you can't be pranking with people like that. That's disrespectful.
But I'm saying, if she would have said
that. Some people don't take that shit.
Then I asked, if she would have said that, I would have respected that.
She's my mom.
I feel that.
Oh, that's your brother?
I mean,
your sister.
No, I feel that. I feel that. I respect that.
You feel me?
But I'm saying on some real shit. Like, she was saying, I feel that. On some real shit.
But, bro.
Not for that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
But it's disrespectful.
Now, I feel you, bro.
On everything, I'm going to be real with you.
No, I feel you.
Do you want us to apologize to you?
I got
to make you feel better.
It's not even apologizing. Listen,
I got a sister. I got a sister.
You're a grown-ass man.
No, listen, I got a sister, too, bro. I feel you, but I'm saying, like,
that's sexual harassment. Right?
Exactly. So now you coming up with what you mean, as she should have. You coming up here saying it's disrespectful. We heard you the first time. She ain't even answering.
All right. So if y'all heard that, it was an exchange where, there was a young lady that was in Target. She's walking with her mother. And this guy, DeShay Frost, he walks up to her and says, essentially, you look so good that I'll f*** you right now, right? Yo, I want to f*** so bad or this and that. So after he kind of walks off and he's getting his stream, all of the commentary and the feedback from his stream, they eating it all up. He gets approached by Shorty's brother. And unbeknownst to him, Shorty's brother picked up everything that he was saying. He goes on to say, I just asked her out or something like that, or I asked her for her number. And then my man had to correct him. He said, no, you asked her for a number. No, bro, you look so good that I want to right now. Like, and he had to correct him. Like, yo, you wilding. So again, and to make matters worse, in that scenario, Deshae at the end of it says, yo, I got a sister too. What, my G? What? Oh, matter of fact, hold on. Did I remove that? Yeah, I think I had this Russell Westbrook in here. The what? But yeah, nah. He said nah, to make it yo, I got a sister. And then he has a female streamer, or she was a streamer, I'm assuming, or she's just kind of a part of his team. She's with him and she's defending him, or kind of getting snappy at the brother, like, dang, you want us to apologize or what? Like, you want us to apologize? And it's just an illustration kind of where we at in today's distracted dystopia, y'all. It's a distracted dystopia that we live in, and people have deflective disagreements, if you will. Stay with me now. Hold on.
Hold up. He's going to get this work. He's going to get this work. Get that water. He about to get this work.
Yeah.
He about to get this work.
So again, it's a distracted dystopia that we live in. So just keep in mind, for people to get their point across to you, they're going to have deflective disagreements. So they're not going to be looking to address anything that you say. They're just going to try to disprove what you say with something that's deflecting off of something else. So Deshae says, throughout all of that, while he's in that hot water, yo, I have a sister. Bro, what the fuck does Lady Gaga know about cameras, nigga? What are you talking about? I understand, bro. Listen, please, man, don't try to distract me. What was my man supposed to say? Oh, all right, you got a sister, bro, so I understand. Like, nah. And the whole time he was trying to dap him up, the brother, he was not cool with that, you know. So and this was a while ago, just to for the record, this was probably over a year ago or whatnot, but I just had
show
to
love, nigga. It don't
show love to that brother for sticking up.
Showing niggas some love, nigga. Wabble-dee-dabble-dee.
But that's homie showing. I wanted to show love to homie for sticking up for his sister in that moment. So also, while we're at it, I do want to go ahead and kind of spotlight and do a little mini case study, pseudo case study on one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to every week, Joe Budden podcast. Melissa Ford, she ain't been there in a minute, but I always, since Melissa Mel, if you will, or M4 as they call her, since she started her journey with them, and they made her this character of like, oh, that's sis, she's one of the guys, we can play around and this and that. And it's like, yo, first of all, it made for horrible listening experience. Very a lot of cacophony, if you will. And it was put Mel in a situation where she couldn't win for losing. Like, she was damned if she do, damned if she don't. So they used to ask her all the time, yo, share with us. You got to share, be personal, be vulnerable, this and that. And then as soon as she would be vulnerable, then they would dogpile on her. Admittedly so. That's like the term that they would use, right? Let's dogpile on Mel. Like, and whether it was a shtick, you know, a little whatever, a gimmick or whatnot, to keep the engagement up, shit was corny, yo. It was. And what we see now, she hasn't been on the show in over a month. She may be off of the show by now, but in streaming and in podcasts, you know, women seem to be pigeonholed into this particular archetype, and where they, you know, they don't have that opportunity or that ceiling to expand, you know, outside of what we view them as. And that shit is corny, man. I want to see the woman blurreds, right? Shout out to Deontay Kyle and Grits and Eggs for that term, but I don't know where the term originated from, but the black nerds thing. I want to see, you know, woman blurreds, and I want to see some, you know, woman engineers, or more women that can talk about sports and all of that stuff. And we got, you know, women that talk about sports and stuff, but they always ultimately end up being like, you know, sexified, right? I can't think of the right term for it, but it's always something where you sexualizing women and stuff like that. So, you know, salute to the sisters like Rhapsody and people that kind of keep their integrity about themselves whenever it comes to their physical appearance. Also, shout out to people like Janelle Monáe. I'll never forget when Janelle Monáe first came out. She was wearing suits and stuff and said, yeah, she wears suits when she performs because her parents was blue collar and working hard, working. You know, then she got the tetas out, man.
Hold up. You're going to get this work. You're going to get this work.
But salute. She's beautiful regardless. You know what I'm saying? And protect. We're going to protect our black woman. Okay. Now, I want to bring one of our black women to... I don't know. I'm not going to call this shit homie court. I ain't bringing that. No. Oh, bring her in to speak with HR. Yeah. Let's bring the homie Cardi B in to speak with HR. All right.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now, play on words, right? Play on words with that one. But Cardi B is on her album rollout and she's about to drop her album. Shit, Friday. She went on a talk show today. Like I said, I'm dating the podcast right now. But she went on a talk show today and announced that she's pregnant, as if we didn't know. And let us know that the child's father is...
I know you're going to dig this.
Stephon Diggs, the NFL player. And, you know, they've been seen out and seen together for a minute, we know. So... It's not a secret that they're together. She's tried to keep the pregnancy under wraps as best she can, but the press and just your physical body showing, you know, people are going to speculate or bring up that stuff. So, congrats to Cardi B. Can I? All right, this is mandatory overtime. Hold on.
Please let me work.
Hold on.
Listen up, workers. Overtime is mandatory this weekend. No.
All right, so it's mandatory that I say this then. Ill-timed, advantageous for the announcement. Yes, I see that it's kind of tacky to make that announcement a part of the rollout. You've been pregnant, Ma. You've been pregnant. So you're waiting for 2 days before the album to drop to go ahead and put to garner the world's love and empathy and compassion. Look, shout out Cardi B and stuff, but this is the same woman that, you know, let's not hide her past. She's talked openly about drugging men in hotel rooms and stuff like that, okay? She's worked on that New York nightlife scene. So, I'm not championing, like they said, like I was saying about homie that got deleted last week. If you don't got nothing nice to say, really don't say nothing at all. So, I'm going to just keep it short and sweet with that. Blessings and prayers for y'all baby, for y'all child, Mr. Diggs and Cardi B, because we still got to protect black women. But that's what they say, right? Yeah, child. Well, look, I don't know if we got anything else this week after that, but I would like to know what y'all think about the Cardi B situation. Or maybe I really wouldn't. I don't care. I mean, feel free to write in and tell me what y'all think if I'm on the wrong side of history with that one. But it's just, I'm not going to have revisionist history. It seemed very close to whatever they're like. Cardi B and Offset seem like they still have like some babies, right? Am I off with that? It seems like they got like not infants, but toddlers running around. So it's very close. But again, Offset has, you know, admitted to his transgressions and things like that. So I don't want to get into that tit for tat, you know, as far as the deflective politics. So again, as a man, Offset has definitely probably been wrong in that situation. But it just looks like a mess jumping out on the scene. So this is, if I could be real, right? We're going to keep it funky with each other, y'all. This is like, you know, again, like the barbershop, like the locker room or something like that. Let's talk, you know? So again, in order for us to talk, I need y'all to email me though, mandatoryot704@gmail.com, mandatoryot704 704@gmail.com. Be on the lookout for my Chance the Rapper review, album review of Starline. I'm gonna be going to his show in a couple of weeks in Atlanta. So before I go to the show for episode 3, we are going to be breaking down Chance's Starline album, and I'm gonna be going through chock full of high star bars, of course. But we'll be going through that. So I appreciate y'all time this week once again. Let's go ahead and end this off with a prayer. You know what I'm saying? But this one is with all faith that's in God. This prayer is straight from the heart. May the ego and the hubris never break us apart. All right. And if nobody told you, from one brother to another, I love you. All right. Y'all be easy. Peace. Have a great week. We're going to see y'all next week, man.
Get that water. He about to get this work. He about to get this work.
Hey, everybody. It's closing time. You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.